couple of developing but unrelated stories we're following this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average continuing underselling pressure, almost down almost 200 points at this hour. We'll continue to watch that throughout the day. Also, violence escalating, it appears, in Cairo. David Kirkpatrick reports for our partner, The New York Times. He joins us from Cairo. David, what is the scene today? We've seen demonstrations throughout the weekend.
Well, I'm right here in Tahrir Square right now, and you called at a hot moment. This is the time of day when people get out of work and flood into the square. It's the third day that crowds demanding the ouster of the ruling military council, the interim government run by the military. And the crowds are swelling, and there's a widespread expectation that any minute the military will once again storm into the square and try to clear it out, as it has around this time of day over the last few days. The news here is that the death toll appears to have risen as high as perhaps 35. And a doctor at one of the major hospitals here confirmed to us reports from within the square, from the field hospitals, the police stations are set up here, that some of those killed have actually been shot by live ammunition. The military has said they're only using tear gas. Doctors have said they're under pressure to deny the use of live ammunition. It's not at all clear how this is going to end, because the military is evidently ramping up their use of force. Between the two or three dozen that have died here over the last 3 days and the two dozen that died about a month ago in clashing with the military at a Coptic Christian protest near the television building, we're talking about an increasingly significant death toll.
And we're speaking with David Kirkpatrick, who is reporting for our partner, The New York Times, live from Cairo there. You just mentioned that it's unclear where this is going to head in terms of the level of violence. It's also unclear how the military would step down. How would anyone in Egypt even know that the military stepped down? These are shadowy figures, unlike Hosni Mubarak.
I wouldn't say that's quite true. I mean, we know who they are. They appear on television talk shows. They give statements and speeches. They're familiar faces, and they're calling all the shots. You know, the prime minister says, basically, when the people come to him with a request, he says, basically, I'll get right back to you. I've got to ask my boss, the ruling military council. So what people would like to see is a civilian government, and they'd like to see it right away. But you raise an important question, which is just who is that civilian government? Because behind the military council, the public, which was so united when Mr. Mubarak was forced from power in February, is now quite polarized and divided, mainly between Islamists on the one side and liberals on the other. Neither side trusts the other. The liberals have been seeking... Oh, there goes the Molotov cocktail. The military, the liberals have been seeking some guidelines set down possibly by the military that would protect civil liberties and insulate against a possible Islamist takeover. The Islamists obviously are unhappy about that, accuse the liberals of acting undemocratically. So cynics might say that the military, in its efforts to keep power, has played the two factions off against each other, and that there may be some evidence of that, although, of course, these divisions were latent in Egyptian society long before all this started. But to get back to your question, it does underscore the problem of should the military give in? Should the military say, okay, we're turning over the keys, civilian government, go ahead? Who is that civilian government?
Right.
You know, in a week.
Live from Tahrir Square in Cairo, David Kirkpatrick reporting for our partner, The New York Times.